son, you're gonna drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that
natural burning, burning car.
Come in, it's your car, and you do what you want with it.
I own this car, I do as I please. I also own the highway, my taxes pay for that. They're both mine. I own the highway, and I own the car. I own everything!
Big trouble. That's the rookie Suarez up and over Regan Smith. The big one out there to the trial.
Welcome to the Throwing Wrenches Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Throwing Wrenches. This is Eric Stahl.
And I'm Daryl Scott. Thanks for listening. Welcome to episode 6. I don't, wish I had an alliteration for 6, but I don't.
I was thinking there's like those little vehicles that the farmers and the hunters
John Deere
use.
Gator?
Well, yeah, kind of like a gator. They're six-wheel, but there was that true like tank drive one where you had the two levers to drive them.
Yeah, kind of like a snowcat, but not.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, but I don't know what they're called, so anyway.
Episode 6, that's what this is called.
Yeah, this is Throwing Wrenches. It's the auto podcast that Peoria deserves.
That's right.
Still working on the catchphrase.
We're working on the catchphrase, but of course our theme is constantly Kaizen, which is the Japanese phrase for constant improvement. And we want to talk about some improvement. We've taken great steps to improve our dynamic wall of sound, right, Eric?
Yeah, you know, tonight I actually looked at the sound levels before we started recording.
Huh.
So we practiced a little bit. And I figured out that double phantom power is not the way to go when you're doing a podcast.
Is that like double secret probation?
Something like that.
Double phantom power.
We definitely had double clipping on the last show. So thanks for your patience on our audio improvements. So if you don't know who I am, my name's Eric Stahl, and I run a service department in the Peoria metro area. I love cars. I've been working with cars since the mid-90s, and you will find me at any given auto event in the area. But my co-host, he's the guy who thrills me to death, because tonight as he rolls up into my driveway, I don't know what he's going to be driving and what pulls up. I mean, it's like I could have a spinning wheel of, you know, the cars of Daryl.
Mediocre vehicles. Yeah. Well, tonight, yeah, I brought the Volvo tonight, the much lauded 69 Volvo 144. It made it here, so that's good. Hopefully it makes it home. So I got my cell phone charging. We'll make sure I can AAA it up if I need to. But
now, tell the kids about yourself, Daryl.
Yeah. I'm a lifelong gearhead. I worked in radio for about 15 years, and now I work in the healthcare industry. And now I have a little more time to myself so I can actually be out in the garage tinkering with old stuff that I drag home. Got a couple old cars, 47 Chevy, 55 Plymouth, an old Chevy pickup, and et cetera, et cetera. So never know what I'm going to find. I'm usually cruising Craigslist looking for not the naughty stuff, but looking for old cars.
They took
and parts.
The naughty stuff off.
Didn't they?
Yeah, the Casual Connections is gone.
All I know is I can filter searches now, and it's like every day I wake up and I'm like, what's older than 1973 and less than $1,500? Go!
And it shows up in your inbox every day?
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, man.
I have a problem.
You should kill that search tree. That's how I bought this house, Zillow. I use Zillow.
Yeah?
And I'm like, oh, look at that. There's a house over there. It's got 10 acres, blah, blah. Next thing you know, honey, we're selling the house.
Yeah. It's one
that
of those
easy.
Things. You've pinpointed your, like, this,
this is narrow
instant band. Gratification, right? And you don't even have to search now. It just comes to you. So.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't even try, next thing you know. All right, so you got some feedback this week from a podcaster. What do you got?
I did. A fellow podcaster by the name of, I'll just use his first name, but I'm going to plug him. I don't care. Jacob, thanks for the review. Said we actually have a nice little show here. Got some laughs. He wasn't really a true car guy, but still got some entertainment value out of the show.
I guess that's a plus, right?
That's right. It's like listening to Click and Clack on NPR. You know, like half the audience doesn't care about cars. They just like the show.
Even though the guys are dead, they still get a laugh.
That's very true. One of them's dead. One of them's dead.
True.
But Jacob and his colleague, they run a podcast called Knockabout. And it's a self-described podcast about anything and nothing. So give it a shot. They are out there on the interwebs, Knockabout.
Are they Peoria guys?
They are. They are local, and they also enjoy a craft brew now
ooh,
and then.
Ooh,
so.
I'm enjoying a craft brew right now.
Yeah.
All right.
Good stuff.
Sponsors, don't ever forget we've thought about you.
That's right. There is space for you.
We want you on our show. So right. Yeah, if you have $5 or $10 or $5,000 to spend, we are the show for you. You will definitely get your ad buck. Go a long way here, I think.
I hope so.
I'll go back through all the old shows and put your ads in there.
You just splice them in?
Yeah.
Brought to you by Preparation H.
Unless it's Tesla, I don't know. Would we take Tesla money?
We'll talk about that. I don't. He's got money apparently.
Oh, does he?
Well,
okay. I heard he's a little light.
The internet says he does.
Okay.
Ish. So let's see. We're gonna probably talk about some projects. We've been off for a few weeks here.
Yeah, I did want to give one shout out. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
we're bouncing all over. Now, this show is organized. I'm gonna say it.
Right.
Brett Beachler does a show.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and so meant to give them a shout because we're trying to think of auto podcasts in Peoria. And we're like, oh, I don't think there is one. But Beachler's has had one for a long time. I don't know Brett. I've heard a couple people say he's a good guy.
Is it called Car Guy?
Might be called Car Guy.
Peoria Life, I think, is hosted on their channel. So.
Yeah, those guys got all kinds of stuff going on there. There's
nice.
A lot of money involved there.
Yeah, and, you know, Beachler, of course, from the long line of Beachlers who know a thing or two about cars.
Yeah, I think the Beachler name is synonymous in Peoria with independent quality service, I would call it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. I had a set of tires mounted to balance there last time. I got them from Tire Rack, and they're, I think, one of those, when you go to the Tire Rack or Discount Tire, like,
we've done that.
Recommended installers, it's great. Sometimes you take them to some places, and like, yeah, did you buy them from us? Yeah, get out of here. You know,
I tell you what, man, anything you can do to keep a customer coming to your door is my philosophy, and anything you throw up there in the doorway, say, no, we don't want your business.
Yeah.
You know what? Customers never forget that stuff, ever.
Right. No, right?
We went there that one time. They wouldn't work with us, so we never go there.
They're done.
Yeah.
Now, Beachlers, they do good work. I mounted and balanced some tires for my Mustang Cobra years ago, and always enjoyed.
You had a Cobra?
I did.
Oh, my God.
It was a 98, so it wasn't like a cool one. It
wasn't like a 60s Cobra.
Nah, it was cool. It was all right. I had a good time with it.
All right. All right, let's get to the projects. Let's get back in order on the show here, Daryl.
Speaking of stuff you wrench on, I drove the Volvo tonight, and it runs great. I got most of the things sorted on it. Brakes are, you know, all set. That was the big challenge, was getting the brakes all rebuilt. Thing runs like a top. I really enjoyed, you know, I was 65, 70 the whole way here.
You take the interstate?
I did. like a real adult.
Like a real boy.
It was exciting. I had a couple hairy moments with some 18-wheelers, but but the big thing now is the shift bushings. The shift, I think I talked about in a previous episode. It's an automatic. It's a BorgWarner automatic. Yeah, I know. But all the shift bushings for the linkages are just disintegrated. And I ordered them from Sweden, got a guy, you know, who sent some over. Two of the four fit. The other four, two did not.
Yeah, we did talk about that.
So I actually wound up fabbing up some of my own bushings with some 3/8 heater hose and or fuel hose and some tape. That's holding, but there's a new twist to this now. All the years of bushings being all worn out, it's worn this nylon plastic bushing in the column shifter in the actual steering column itself.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know there was a bushing that was supposed to be there when I took everything apart. There was
dust.
Yeah, basically like crumbled dust and powder. And of course, you look at the exploded view in the shop manual, like, oh, there's like three things here I don't have. Whoops. So I finally tracked that down. That was another hard to find item that is a $65 piece of nylon.
Why that price even bothers you is beyond me.
I mean, it doesn't. I still haven't ordered it. It's in my cart. It's one of those things that you add to the cart, and then you're like, I'll think about it. And then like 2 weeks later, you're like, you're just going to do it. And you've wasted 2 weeks. So.
I got stuff in my Amazon cart for years, just sitting there. I'll save it for later.
It just haunts you like a bad dream.
It
Anyways,
does.
That's what I'm working on. Hopefully I'll get that done. I'm going to try to get some stuff prepped in the garage, kind of get things sorted so I can get things ready to store for winter. Because I've got a lot of old cars. They don't see snow. I'm not one of those purists. I mean, I've driven in rain, snow. You know, it doesn't matter. But I like to try to keep the rust at bay. So I'm going to try to get the storage unit and all that stuff ready for the winter, because it's coming.
So for winter, your ride's going to be the Jeep, probably, right?
Or the Tahoe. I haven't figured out. I got to get winter tires.
It's two-wheel drive, though.
Yeah, I do need to get some winter tires. So might be going to Beachler's. I don't know.
I'd trade it. You never know with Daryl. That thing could be gone after the next Cars and Coffee.
I need a 4Runner. So what are you working on, speaking of all things cool and exciting?
Well, okay, so last weekend was homecoming, and I thought I was not going to be autocrossing. And then my daughter decides to be a typical 17-year-old girl, and she wants to go autocrossing on Sunday after homecoming. So
that's awesome. By the way, that is probably the first time those two...
yes,
my daughter wanted to go to autocrossing after homecoming. Yeah. Like, wow, that's cool. All right, sorry.
So she's like, Dad, get the car, get the Celica, get the race tires on. And I'm like, all right, fine. So Saturday morning, I got it down to the store. I was getting the tires swapped out on it, but we were crushed. We were slammed. I think I dealt, you know, you can only deal with so many customers a day. And by the time you get through a raggedy day like that, the last thing you do is ask a couple technicians, hey, I think you'll stay after and put these tires on for me. Plus, I had to lower the coilovers.
Adjust all that.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm done. And we have the work race car, the FRS. And I personally, there's a sense of accomplishment with driving your own car when you're doing SCCA stuff and you're doing autocross. I want to drive my car.
Yeah.
I don't mind driving the company car, but at the same time, when I'm there, there's a real sense of pride driving your own car.
Sure. Let's recap real quick for the audience what the FRS is.
Yeah, so I drive a 1990 Celica GT when I'm autocrossing. I've only done it a couple times. Don't think I'm a veteran by any means. But at the dealership where I work, we have a 2013 Scion FRS. It's now the Toyota 86. And all we've done to this car is we've coiled over, we stripped some interior stuff. The engine's normally, you know, as sits from the factory. The car was a flood car from Houston. I don't know if I ever told you that.
Oh, okay.
Got it for a song.
Yeah.
Thought the engine was trash. Thought that, you know, there was oil in the different or water in the differential. Car was clean. Car nice. Started up.
Okay.
Yeah, we made a key for it. Next thing you know, we have a car that runs. So, but it had a little stink of water in it. But
yeah, if you're gutting that, who cares?
Yeah. So we put some extra. All subframes have been secured. We put some cross mounts inside it, you know, to stiffen it up. And the car is stiff.
Yeah.
It used to be a pleasure to drive. It is uncomfortable.
Just set on a course.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that car was the car that was chosen for autocross for the weekend. Now, we'll get into this later in the show or maybe later in this segment here, but the autocross is supposed to be in Pekin this weekend, which is great. At Pekin Airport, you know, 15, 20 minutes from here, phenomenal, easy, and it's local, and we love to do local stuff here. Well, that got canceled because of the incident last year, and Darrell and I talked about this. I don't know how much people know about it, but last year, a Mustang, and I have to point out it's a Mustang.
Of course.
Ran into a hangar, and it jetted a microfridge across a hangar, nearly nicking a crop duster. And should that have happened, the FAA and the amount of paperwork that would have happened there would have been a nightmare. So then when it came time to renew, you know, for this season, we had our spring event, but when the fall event came around, they can't fit us in. They're too busy. So
it's a polite way of saying,
yeah,
you done screwed up.
Shove off. So we went to Rantoul. Rantoul had something going on this weekend. The Champaign County Sports Car Club had their attack of the cones is what they called it. I love these guys because their T-shirts always have something with a cone, you know, like hitting people or like screaming for its life. You know, they call them Cone Hunter and stuff like that.
Nice.
These guys are funny. So we're going to take the FRS. The funny thing is I timed it just perfectly. So I was coming out of Mackinac. My other guy who was driving the FRS with us, we had three people, my daughter, myself, and one of my technicians. We caught the FRS on a trailer on 122 from our car about a quarter mile away. And I would be lying if I didn't tell you that my heart started racing. Yeah. My daughter got excited seeing the car.
Yeah.
There is an adrenaline rush even just seeing the car from a quarter mile away. We got stripes on it. It's got a number on the side. This car is just fun. I was all jacked up. It was a lot of fun.
So. It does look good. Check out our Facebook page. There's some photos of it, I think.
Did I put some stuff on there?
I did. I can't remember. We'll put some more up there.
Yeah, we need to start linking our own personal accounts on there. So I'm going to get long-winded here because this was just a fun thing we did this week, and we're going to call this a project. But so I've done a couple different versions of sports car stuff, you know, with different organizations, SCCA and the Champaign County guys. Champaign County was unique because they broke it up into two groups. You drove on one half, and then the other half of the people were working the field, and then they switched off. And then they had a lunch break, and then we did it all again the second half of the day. So that meant you had a couple runs in the morning and a couple runs in the afternoon, as opposed to Pekin, where they broke up in the thirds, and you didn't really know what you were doing, and you never got a lunch break. This was a little better setup. So the first half of the day, my daughter and I were driving together in the FRS, and we got four races each. And when we went to lunch, we walk over to the scorer's table, and they got the TV sitting there on the side of this old bread van. It's great. It's got a little generator going there. They got all the helmets, all the tables, everything inside the bread van. She's beating me by 0.4 seconds.
Oh, boy.
We've had four races, and she's beating me by four. And I'm going to tell you something right now. My daughter's 17. There's just something that galls you when you get to my age, and somebody can just have, just pretty good at this.
Yeah.
You know,
just pick it up.
She did it out at Pekin in the Celica, and she was beating, I think she probably came in the top third of the crew out there.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And that was first right out of the gate.
Yeah. Never done it before in her life. You know, and so no fear. That's scary too, though, because then you're scared you're doing it, you know, on the weekends.
Yeah, but again,
cornfields,
but better on a track than, you know, in a parking lot or interstate somewhere. Yeah. So
a blessing happened because at lunchtime, her boyfriend showed up. He's a freshman at U of I, and he comes at lunchtime and he sits down with her and they start talking. Next, you know, blah blah. They're distracted. Well, at the meantime, I'm talking to my technician and he's beating me by like 6 seconds. I'm like, what are you doing? So we're drawing the map on the table and he's saying, hey, go into the sweeper here. Come out here,
yeah.
This, and the next thing you know, when we get back from lunch, first run, it took a second off. The next run, I took another second off. That by the third run, I'd taken 3 seconds off my best time from earlier in the morning.
Great.
And I was trying to, I just couldn't get past that hump all day. And her boyfriend was still there, so magically, she never got any better the rest.
Yeah,
of the
it
day.
Was.
So I walked out of there with my dignity because I did beat my daughter, but
only because the distraction happened. No, it is. It's cool though. Did you walk the course beforehand, all that, all the prep?
Yeah. Jason Daly. He's one of the big guys here from Peak. These are great guys to get on the show later on too, I think.
Yeah, love to have.
Jason's one of the organizers of the SCCA here in Central Illinois, but he walked the course with us and everybody. And of course, they take time for people who've never done it before. The biggest thing I got to stress on this is if you have never done this before. They are so accommodating. They want to make sure people understand, you know, what to do and understand the rules, understand, you know, what the course is and how it works. And if you have any questions, there's people all over the place who want to help you.
Yeah.
They want people there. You know, they want newbies there because once you do it, you're infected.
Yeah, it is one of the most exciting things you can do in a vehicle. You know, the only thing is that's the intimidation factor.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I've never done it before. I don't know if it'd be any good. And, you know, I remember years ago when I was doing it, and I need to get back into it, frankly, because I did miss it. The thing that stopped me was I, you know, went out and bought a Mustang Cobra, and I was making payments on it. And I'm like, wouldn't, you know, 22 years old, I can barely afford this thing and insurance. Mm-hmm. What happens if I go on a weekend and roll it over?
I can understand that.
You know, so that kind of took me out of the running. When I had a $1,500 beater, I was in hog heaven.
The Celica is that $1,500 beater.
You know, it's a great car to learn.
Yeah. And, you know, we blew an axle out the first time, you know, I ran it just, you know, hard. But, you know, that's what you got to do in these things.
Yeah,
you know,
find the weak link and fix it and make it better.
Yeah. So,
well, great.
Dean Plumador, he's the vice president of the Champaign County Group. And him and I talked a lot. And as much as you can, you know, between races and stuff like that. But, you know, he really did stress the fact that these organizations, just like your old car group and our off-road community, they're kind of dying on the vine. You know, the motorsports aspect, especially at ground level, doesn't get the attraction. I'm sure, you know, NASCAR's probably not suffering, but, you know, getting people to go to SCCA events, getting people to be concerned, you know, and trying to have, we talked about, you know, where are you going to race? Where are you going to do this or that? And it's harder and harder because nobody's really conscious of it.
Right.
But it's so much fun. It's so easy to do. And we need to get young blood out to these things. So please, if you're interested in this stuff, you know, Daryl and I both know a lot about it. So, you know, reach out.
Well, if for no other reason too, you know, to kind of get the most out of, if you've got a car that's making some power or just a fun to drive car, you're not going to, the roads around here, folks, you're not going to use it.
You'll never understand what it's like
right. Until
you dodge. You know, when you're a kid and you have to go around the course with the cones on your bike, that was fun.
Sure.
Do you remember, you know, when you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going. It's in your car is just as much excitement, even at 50 years old. It's the same adrenaline rush. And I'm going to tell you what, I even watched my daughter get out of the car at one point. Her hand was shaking like she had Parkinson's disease.
Yeah. It's exhilarating. It's an adrenaline rush, and you don't know what to do. You know, it's like, okay. And then after a while, you kind of, when it stops being scary, that's a sign either you've given up entirely, you don't care, and that's a little frightening, or. Yeah. It's time to kind of, you know, maybe think you need to push a little further.
Yeah, well, that's when you start going to third gear. Because my technician, he's like, oh, yeah, I hit third gear twice. I'm like, how'd you do that?
Yeah.
I'm in second, and my mind is racing so much. My eyeballs and my hands are reacting to cones. I got to just take my foot off the gas and hit the brake a couple times to be conscious of that is hard enough. I mean, I've come into the exit before screaming through and not even wanting to stop because you have 1 minute of just adrenaline.
Yeah.
It's one thing to sit in a roller coaster and say, yeah, man, that was great. You know, blew my brains out. This is a roller coaster that you're controlling the whole way through.
And it gets faster the better you get. Let me talk just real quick about sanctioning bodies. This is a Champaign County sports car club.
Yeah.
This is not an SCCA chapter, right?
Yeah, and I know very little about that, so I'm learning as we progress through this stuff. But yeah, the Central Illinois group is SCCA, and SCCA is a national organization. And I think the benefit there is, you know, your numbers and everything translate everywhere. So you could leave here and go up to Audubon to an SCCA event or something like that, mm-hmm. or some other place, and keep track of this stuff. I'm sure somebody's keeping track of numbers for the year, you know. My wife horse rides, and they keep track of this stuff. You know, at the end of the year, they combine all the points and all that.
Okay.
So Champaign County, I talked to Dean, and he was saying that they actually don't use SCCA because it's insurance. They said they can actually save money the way they do it, get the same amount of protection. And he said, realistically, a lot of people that are driving there aren't concerned about the numbers translating over to another SCCA chapter. So if they are, then they probably aren't racing there.
Sure.
But those guys do a lot. I mean, just like I said, even when they put the art into the cone art and stuff like that, I mean, these guys are really into it.
It's fun.
It was run very well.
That matters, too. If it is a group that, you know, there's a lot of smaller groups that'll put something on, and they're not all created equal. If this is a nice, tight-run group, and the events are you know, a lot of fun, that's worth it.
Yeah, no, so I highly recommend it. I'm going to get back over there to another one. Even though it is a 90-minute drive, definitely worth it. So
right on.
All right. So
glad you had fun.
Yeah, so... do we want to talk customer of the week?
Yeah, I think it's about time.
I know I've been talking a lot. This is like the Eric show. So.
No, it's not. Let's hear. I always do enjoy these. And remember, folks, the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Yeah, I never dropped a name. So this one was interesting this week. I worked Saturday, and a young lady came in. She won four tires for a Prius. And she'd actually got onto the website, and you can order the tires, have them shipped to the store, even prepaid if you want. But she hadn't prepaid for them. But she came in with a Prius. Got the car in the air, and the technician about 5 minutes later comes back to me and goes, "Why are you replacing these tires?" I'm like, "Well, that's a good question. I never asked her. She came in. You know, the appointment was for four tires."
Yeah.
And so I walk out there and look at them, and, well, you know what? The two front look pretty darn good. I mean, they're at least 8/32nds, and the rears, sevens, but maybe a little feathering, and I did see a big rubber plug in one of them.
Okay.
So I thought, well, all right, let me go talk to the customer and find out what she needs. So I go in there and talk to a nice young lady, probably in her late 20s. I said, "We got four tires here for you, but really, your tires aren't that bad. Why are we replacing them?" "Oh, I just have bad luck with tires, and it's been a couple years, so I just thought I needed them." And I'm like, "Ugh, okay, well, I tell you what, I'm going to go out and take a look at them again, because I really feel terrible taking your money on these things." And she's like, "Well, you sure? Because I've had a problem with this." And I said, "I saw the plug and the one." I can understand that. You know, if you're paranoid, you don't want to deal with the tire repair, you know, fine. So with the feathering on the back tires, I could mentally justify if she wanted to replace some tires. But, man, I could not let her buy four tires. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, kudos on you, because there's some people who be like, yep, cha-ching, just get it done, whatever they want.
I don't know. I don't know who could do that, honestly, first off. But you were saying you know people like this.
Yeah, I know people who do, like, every 2 years they'll just cycle through them because they think it's like, I don't know, like athletic shoes or something. Like, yeah, it's just time. It's like, and I get that too, because I know I also, for every one friend I have that does that, I got another friend who's like, yeah, they're good enough.
Driving on 0/32nd.
Yeah, just total garbage tires, and it's the middle of February, and, you know, yeah, these streets aren't plowed very well. Like, no, you're running slicks, basically, is what you're running. So, no, that's good, though. At least, you know, it's good to be proactive, but at the same time, yeah, it's kind of, you don't want to be wasteful of resources. If you can get another couple years or two, you know.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we talk about single-use plastic at Kroger. I mean, how many plastic bags at Kroger would one of those tires... Oh, no. Ah! What did I do?
I don't know.
That was the, you know, sliding the papers around on the mighty throwing wrenches PC system here.
Is that a wood-burning model? No, I'm kidding. I need to get a laptop.
Natural gas.
Is it? Yeah. It's wood pellets is what I got at home, so... My laptop situation's terrible, so if anyone wants to donate a laptop,
exactly,
I'll give you a holler.
This show has been a cluster. All right. Do you want to go into the national news? Because I know this is your favorite guy right here.
Please, yeah. Let's.
I got to get my diagram. We got, okay. You know, this is...
Right. When I came here, like, just for the record, Eric does a lot of show prep. Some would say too much. Some would say not enough.
I've never been accused of that on my beer podcast, I'll tell you that.
No. Well, this week we're actually revisiting what I thought was already something that had been checked off the list nationally. But apparently we made a brand new presidential limousine. You remember the Beast?
The Beast.
The Obama-era Beast.
Isn't the Beast like a roller coaster at Six Flags?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But this case, it's a Cadillac that basically is a stretched. I don't even know. It's not a Fleetwood anymore.
I wouldn't even call it a Cadillac. I think it's just like a military complex. Oshkosh should build this thing.
Yeah, it's like a giant, like, 2.5-ton Army truck chassis with all kinds of features. We're going to give you the rundown here in a moment. Yeah. But it's basically this giant diesel-powered truck that has a Cadillac shell on it that looks kind of like a limo, but it's really almost like a fortress of solitude. It's it's this $15.8 million armored Cadillac. And Eric printed out during his show prep here this nice little like cross section, you know, like the cutaways.
I think it's from USA Today, if I had to guess. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Okay, so on the front here, we got the regular Cadillac grill and, you know, the little flags like, you know, all presidential limos have. But then it also has like little call outs like in the front bumper, there's tear gas. Grenade launchers, night vision cameras up front. What's in the driver's compartment, Eric?
The driver's compartment? The chauffeur?
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's trained by U.S. Secret Service to cope with the most demanding driving situations. And I do believe there's videos of this where you can watch a limo, like, going in reverse, like, 60 miles an hour and swinging around. This is, like, Secret
crazy.
Service training. Yeah. So he includes the escape, evasion, and the 180 J-turn. That's what this guy's trained to do. But I don't know if you're aware of this. There's also bags of the president's blood kept on board, so I think that chauffeur is also a nurse when needed.
Just in case you need a, you know, transfusion there.
Exactly.
I mean, the sad part is these are all... Okay, well, there's a lot more.
Yeah,
we'll recap this. Windows, we got not only bulletproof glass, but they're 5 layers and polycarbonate, so they can withstand not only your regular run-of-the-mill bullets, but, you know, those armor-piercing ones you might find from time to time.
And none of them open, you see that?
Yeah.
Driver's window goes down 3 inches. That's just basically so he can put his parking tag out.
Yeah. I was going to say, so you can have a smoke while you're waiting for the president. Doors. We got some armor plating in the doors, very similar to what the Boeing 757 Air Force One has, where you can't really get in, so it keeps the bad guys out.
Yeah, it's 7 inches of metal on
Holy
the doors.
Cow.
Yeah, and then we got a gun. We got a pump action shotgun and tear gas cannons, and yeah, next to the president's blood.
Yeah, riot guns. Kevlar reinforced tires. So they're kind of like the run flat, so you can shoot them up and whatever. But then also, the rims are made so that they can run on the rim. So they don't even need tires. This thing will just crawl on whatever it's got.
The tires are there for looks.
That's for sure. But they're the little pinstripe white wall.
Dude,
did you notice that?
People freak out all the time on run flats when I tell them, oh, yeah, those tires are going to be $1,200. I can only imagine what the president says when they said you need tires. You know, that'd be $1 million.
1.2. It's made by Uniroyal. Mm-hmm. Bodywork. Military-grade armor, at least 5 inches thick across the entire vehicle. Combination of dual hardness, steel, aluminum, titanium, and ceramic. I'm just, all of these things, features I'm reading, it's like, that's another 2 tons. That's another 3 tons. This thing needs to be a big truck chassis to pull it.
It's got a firefighting system with tear gas and smokescreen dispensers in the boot. Like, I'm surprised they didn't say trunk. It makes me wonder.
Is it from a British paper?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And Donald Trump's seat actually has a satellite phone with direct line to the vice president and the Pentagon. Whenever I hear lines like that, I always think of, what was that old Peter Sellers movie?
Dr. Strangelove.
Where the Pentagon people are all sitting around the big round table just waiting on the Don to call him.
It's all in black and white, too.
Yeah, exactly.
In your mind.
Yeah, China. China's just hitting me.
And the rear compartment.
Because of my brain.
It's a giant brain. Up to 4 passengers can sit in the back, but it doesn't seem like it'd be comfortable. You know, it'd be tripping over bags of blood and
riot guns. You know, they don't talk anything about aesthetics. I mean, is there a feng shui aspect to the interior of this?
I would think so, because here's the thing. Anyone who has a limousine, it's not for them. It's let me give you a ride
in my
limo.
In the Don, definitely.
Yeah, you would want to make sure there's some cool, like, beluga caviar in that thing. There's a mini fridge stocked with, like, Perrier or whatever president drinks. I don't know. And apparently the car has its own oxygen supply.
Yeah.
Just in case you get mustard gassed or something.
I'm going to share this graphic on our site, but I'm going to tell you the best part to me is I did find the Obama one.
Yeah,
when I was looking up the beast, but I just love the smiling picture of Trump in the backseat with Melania. And what's he doing with his hand? Look at his hand next to Melania's face. It looks like he's ready to give her like a flick to the ear or something.
Yeah, or is it an okay? Like it's an okay sign. We'll have you be the judge. You make the call. We'll put it up on the site there. You can check that out. Interesting piece of automobile history there. What do they do with the old beast? Did that go to the vice president? Does the vice president get like the hand-me-downs?
Yeah, maybe so. Or maybe they pass them down to like ex-presidents. Maybe it's sitting in like Bush's garage or something like that.
Insane. I know one of the big things, too, with the Obama-era Beast, I think there was concern when he took it to certain countries abroad that fuels weren't going to be as refined, I guess you'd say.
So they'd have to have, like, a fuel truck following them around?
Yep. They'd have, that's exactly what happened. They would load, I think it was like a 100-gallon tank. Or, I mean, it was something ridiculous because they're like, we can't refuel because if the president is doing, like, some... you know, motorcade thing in Yemen. Well, we don't know what the fuel's like in Yemen.
First off, that sounds like a suicide mission. Motorcade in Yemen.
It's probably not going to happen.
No, probably not.
Probably. It'd be like a Tom Clancy movie where just turkey shoot in the street. Or something. Did I do that again?
You did do that again.
Yeah.
You waggle those arms around sometimes.
I need some Kevlar.
You get so excited. You must know that the moment of Musk is coming soon.
I'm giddy with anticipation, Eric. That's exactly what it is. So in local news, we're going to shift gears here from diesel-powered tank limousine things to local news. We were talking last time about wanting to get a fall tour together.
Yeah, it's almost like somebody was listening to the show and said, hey, you know what? Daryl's right.
That's exactly what happened.
That happens a lot to you, right?
It never, ever does.
All right.
I wish it did. There's a group of folks there on the Central Illinois Automotive Enthusiasts Facebook page. If you're not following that, you should, because...
You absolutely should.
It's a great group. Great group of people.
They may hate me sometimes, and they may hate Daryl sometimes, but generally speaking, we get along with most of those guys.
For the most part. So we got all kinds of cool stuff on there, but we saw on October 14th, there's going to be kind of a loosely organized group of people that are going to be doing a little tour, motor tour, road rally, I guess you'd call it. From Peoria
I would call it a gentleman's rally, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. A little tweed hat.
Yeah, just wear the driving gloves, drive something old and British. That's open to everybody. It's going to be October 14th. You can check it out. We'll put a link on our page to that
Now, this is almost identical to what you were talking about on the last show, where it's just find a couple drive-ins, find some pretty spots, and go to the I&M Canal up north of town.
Yeah, in Hennepin, I think.
Yeah, and just kind of do some scenic spots. And I think somebody was taking a camera, too, so.
Yeah, in fact, that's the name of it. I was trying to think of the actual name, Cars and Cameras Tours.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Because it's good. I mean, everybody loves fall foliage, everybody loves the change of scenery, and everybody
loves
cars.
Still pretty green
cars.
Around here, but.
It's starting, I don't know.
I'm so upset because I'm going to be out of town for Southern Cruiser Crawl, and that'll
what?
Be. Yeah, an off-road event. You know,
this is the most important thing of your life right now.
Is an auto tour.
It's an auto tour. You have a convertible. Yeah, it's obligatory. You have to go.
I know. Well, on Southern Cruiser Crawl, I'll talk about that after the next show. But that's something I've done for 4 years, and it's down in Hot Springs. It's a Toyota off-road thing, and it's a blast. So I can't miss it.
It's okay.
It's my peeps.
Long drive. How many hours to
8 hours.
Hot Springs?
It's 8 hours
from here.
Yeah.
Wow. I got to get a map.
I don't stop to pee. You know, I just
got the stadium pal.
No. I just fill the truck up whenever I run out of gas. I just stop to go to the bathroom. So
there's an astronaut who did that once.
Yeah, well, she wore the diaper thing to kill her boyfriend. Yeah. We should maybe do an expose on her on a future show.
Let's have her on. She's not doing anything.
Sure, she's not. I don't know what she was driving.
She got a one call. That's what I would be intrigued.
Is it a diesel?
Right. Because if she's committed to like not stopping to do that.
Yeah,
I mean it's got to be something pretty efficient. Yeah. You know, I wonder what she was driving.
It's like that Volkswagen commercial from years ago where the guy plays like the Learn Spanish DVD or something in the diesel, and they, like 7 hours later they get out to fill up the tank and they're speaking in Spanish.
Yeah, totally fluent.
Yeah, it's pretty
Love
great.
It. All right.
Yeah, so anyway, I feel really terrible about that. I wanted to go to that. And of course, you talk about it, like, that sounds great, and then I'm going to be out of town. So.
It's okay. They'll be next year.
Now, you're doing Spoon River Drive.
Oh, yeah, Spoon River Drive, the first two full weekends in October. Everyone always says, when is that? The first full two weekends in October every year. So just mark your calendar.
Has it changed any? Because I kind of stopped going because I kind of thought it was getting to be all NASCAR collectibles. And
okay, I will say, and I love you, London Mills, and I love you, Farmington, but it's basically turned into a flea market.
Okay.
So there's, but if you go to Smithfield, if you go to Bernadotte.
Bernadotte's got the Indian Village too, right?
I don't know about that. I'm not familiar.
Bernadotte have
It used to, yes, up on the hill.
Yeah.
I don't think they do that anymore.
Oh.
If they do, I'm not aware of it. But I forgot all about that. My friend Greg was telling me about it. But there's all kinds of little cool towns. I like Avon. In Avon, and I'm going to give away a little secret, there's a cool antique store that has a lot of automobilia, let's just say. literature, old dealer plates, and I mean, just little nerd things okay. that, you know, people like you and I would probably geek out on.
Nerds.
I need to get that in my sound effects on the computer.
There we go. But it's fun. London Mills, if you're looking for, you know, 10-year-old pieces of Avon cologne, great. You know, bottles of half-used lotion.
Or like those old cars. I probably could find an old Volvo bottle of Avon cologne.
I need to. If you do, if anyone finds one, let me know. I know people collect that stuff. Oddly enough.
It's just a glass-shaped car with a nozzle on the end of it, remember?
Yeah.
Or the boot of the car would, like, fasten on there.
And it all smells the same. It all smells like a Stetson knockoff. It
smells like my grandpa.
Yeah, basically. So, yeah, Spoon River Drive, check it out. Always a good time. But do the southern leg and don't go, like, if London Mills is your jam, you want to get an apple dumpling there, awesome.
I was just going to ask, is there a food you got to get when you do this?
Apple dumplings in Bernadotte are pretty good. Yeah. And then... I will say in Farmington, there used to be a woman who sold tamales. I did not see her last year, but someone said she was sick or something. Hmm. So probably good she didn't make food.
Yeah, probably not.
But yeah, Farmington tamales. And then anytime there's a walking taco or AKA Frito pie, sign me up.
Yeah. So interestingly enough, we were at the food truck frenzy up at the...
in the Heights.
Up at the Heights. Two weeks ago, I think that was.
Yep.
All the food trucks up there and the tamale truck, that thing was banging out some serious food, man.
That's good stuff.
Oh yeah,
do you remember Art's tamales?
Yeah,
that was a good time. So they found like rats.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
didn't
they go in there and close the place down?
Those are the best type of food, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've told you my brother's philosophy on Indian food, haven't I?
No, I have not.
Well, okay, so you know, right next to Children's Home on University, there's that Masala Cafe.
Yes.
Looks like an old gas station.
Mm-hmm.
My brother's philosophy...
Used to be a Mr. Donut back in the day.
Did it really?
Yeah, the cool, like, 60s architecture. Yeah.
Yeah, he says that the more disgusting that the Indian restaurant looks like on the outside, the better the food is on the inside. And he is absolutely right in that. Have you had the lunch buffet there?
Years ago. I went there, about 3 years ago. It was really good food.
We still go there.
Yeah.
All my technicians and I will show up there, and it's got to look so weird to see a bunch of technicians from Pekin.
Like, you guys drove 20 minutes here? Like, yeah, yes, we did.
Yeah, we did. It's good stuff.
That's the same. I feel the same way about, I won't say their name, but restaurants that serve burgers along a river here. You know, there's always some interesting...
The Barge?
Yeah, The Barge. Okay. I love it. My favorite, though, was the health department write-up where they talked about ducks in the cooking area.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, and everyone at work is like, oh, I don't believe that. I'll never go there. I'm like, are you kidding me?
You've been going there for years.
I've been eating there for nothing's killed me yet.
Yeah, yeah.
George Carlin had a great line about that, too.
Oh.
Talking about, you need to build up your immune system.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he swam in the Hudson River when he was a kid.
And he was never sick.
It built up his immune system.
Never sick.
Yeah, we just had a big conversation about peanut butter in schools today. Probably would agree with Carlin on that one, too. Sorry if you have a child who's allergic to peanut butter, but they should maybe make an island for all those people. I'm not sure. Anyway.
Maybe.
I think it's time, Daryl.
Yes.
It's that magical time of the episode.
My hair is tingling on my neck. I either have some scabies or it's time.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Throwing Wrenches presents.
Here you go.
Your moment of the bus.
All right. So on August 7th, Elon Musk posted he's going to make Tesla go private. And he's going to buy it at $4.20 a share and funding is secured. Well, when you do that, the Federal Security and Exchange Commission does not like that at all. So
they frown upon that?
They do frown upon that. So here this last week, Elon got to pay a nice $20 million fine, and he's going to step down as chairman of Tesla Motor Cars for 3 years. He will remain the CEO. Now, Daryl pointed out that the stock is soaring, but it's still hanging around like 210 or so, and I think at its best it was no, 310.
310.
I think it was getting close to 400 here 6 months ago or so. It has not built that ground up, so that is your moment of Musk.
Well,
I'm a little short.
As the theme would suggest... There we go.
This has been your moment of Musk.
It's official.
All right. And I think we did that perfectly, as opposed to the last time.
Yeah, it worked. We'll just edit that out. He did ruin my dinner. The announcement that whole tomfoolery was going on Saturday night.
Nightcap hijinks.
Yeah, it came up as a breaking news alert on my phone. Everybody at the table was like, what's going on? You know, it's something big, something overseas. Yeah. We're going to war.
It's an asteroid going to crash into the Earth.
No, it's just the never-ending MTV saga of the Elon Musk story.
Did you see that meme this week? It was 35 years of MTV celebrating 15 years of music.
Yes. And unfortunately, it's 100% true, folks. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about technology. Speaking of people who are into high tech, we're always concerned, and I say we people, I think people are always concerned about automating ourselves out of existence. Yeah. You know?
Do you use the kiosk at McDonald's? Let me ask you that. Have you bought a hamburger?
I have yet to see the kiosk at McDonald's.
Really?
I use the self-checkout sometimes at Walmart or, I shop at Walmart. Who cares?
I do. You're a horrible person.
I am a horrible person. But I've paid 88 cents for oil, and I use a lot of it. Anyways, no, there's a lot of the self-checkouts that I hate because, you know, you scan something, and then it's like, please place in the bagging area.
Wait for cashier.
Yeah, and then a person waddles up, and they're like, what are you doing, idiot? I'm like, I'm trying to use this machine.
They stick their slide card in there, and they, like, bang it on there a couple times.
Yeah. Boop, boop, boop. Yeah. I mean, kiosks, sort of, but I mean, about the most interaction I have with a kiosk is maybe at like a Walgreens or something like that.
So that brings up the question. So Daryl is not just talking about McDonald's fast food for fun here. I had come across this. My boss had shown it to me, and I was at a meeting in Charleston last week with some other dealers. We were talking about the service kiosk, self-serve kiosk for when you're getting your car serviced. And apparently Ford has been working with this program for a couple of years. They've rolled it out in some Metro dealers. I don't know any Ford dealers, so I'm interested to hear some feedback on it. But I asked Daryl when he came in tonight, I said, would you use a kiosk for servicing your car? And, of course, this is what you just got. But I'm interested to know people's opinion. In my mind, I think that I think younger people are comfortable with the technology. I think older people still want to deal with the personalities. I think they still want to trust the individuals they're talking to. And of course, if you trust the store, you know, the kiosk is probably a little friendlier. It's a little easier sell.
True.
But I don't know. I still say you got to have somebody behind the kiosk manning the car the whole time it's, you know, being worked on.
Right.
But, you know, the sell point is, I'm not trying to unsell this technology because I think ultimately, like I told you before, when anybody says, hey, machine can't do my job, hey, watch out. Machine's going to be doing your job.
Guess who's taking early retirement?
Exactly.
This guy.
But they say on the big sell on this that customers will actually select more service for their car than if you were to recommend it, you know, with your service advisor. So I'm always interested in what people's feedback is on stuff like that. And I would love to hear feedback on the show. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll probably look at it. It's interesting technology. I could use a spare hand at the store. And would this alleviate having a person there? You know, I don't know. Should it be inside? Should it be outside? Should it be at the key drop? I don't know.
You know. I could see like a key drop type of thing, you know, after hours.
Yeah.
Because that's the big thing is accessibility. You know, I was dropping some stuff off last week and, you know, I had to race to get out to the dealer by 6 to pick stuff up and verify it. And then I took it home and had to bring it back because stuff wasn't fixed correctly.
Oh, boy.
So it was that. But if there was a kiosk there or something like that, I could have driven around the lot and be like, nope, and then dropped it back off and been like, hey, check this out again, thanks.
Yeah.
And then by, you know, 8, 8 9 a.m. the next morning, it's already getting processed, you know, as opposed to wait till noon for someone to call you. And I get it. Everybody's busy, and, you know, if that's another human being that's going to be tied up just making phone calls and processing data.
Well, what if it's connected to a cellular device or your iPad or, you know, could maybe do it remotely, just put everything in there? That's pretty easy. And I'll be honest with you, when it comes to filling out an envelope for anything anymore, you haven't seen my handwriting. It's god awful.
Oh, because I use computers all
the time. I can't even write anymore. I mean, look at my handwriting. Yeah. It's the worst thing in the world.
Same thing. When I bought a house last year, and I'm sitting there scribbling like, is that your name? Is it what is the? Can you print that?
Yeah. Is that? Is that like an American Indian cross?
I haven't written since 1988. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. Now, I will say though, with the kiosk, as far as like kind of adding sales or services, things like that. At the car wash, a lot of, you know, the car washes, you pull up and it's like you get the $3 base wash.
Yeah,
it's
they have the small, medium, large.
Right.
You know, yeah, they're always like the customer's always going to pick the middle one, you know.
No, I pull up there and I start with the $3 wash and then I'm like, add undercarriage, add wheel scrub, add foamy, foamy brushes and clear coat sealant. And I'm like, my dad does that. He's the type of guy, oh, it's good to get, oh, might as well. That's only another buck. So by the time my $3 wash turns into a $15 wash, and does it wash it any better? Yeah, maybe. But at the same time, I went in there with one mindset. I'm going to do $3, and I saw the other choices. So maybe there's some psychology to that. I don't know.
Yeah, you might have just sold me out there, Daryl.
We'll see.
You never know.
The foamy engine bright there.
Now, getting kind of sideways on that. I did post a video on the Throwing Wrenches Facebook page because on the last episode, we kind of talked about the waiting room.
Yeah.
I walked in last Friday morning. I'm like, you know, nobody's here. I got the donuts out. And let's just show what I think a waiting room should look like in Peoria. Because you were saying, you got this, you got that. And I know there's other stores. I've been to the Firestone in Pekin. I know what you sit. I'm sorry. I said Firestone. They're not going to.
No, I've been there too.
They're not going to be sponsoring our show probably after what I say.
Probably not.
But there's just a couple chairs huddled around this horrible, dirty piece of carpet with a TV going.
A Bun-O-Matic with burnt coffee.
And a Bun-O-Matic. Yeah. It smells like burning. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what. The owner of my dealership, he's probably listening. He hates the smell of burnt coffee.
It's the worst. It's the worst. It costs you not that much to make fresh coffee.
Yeah.
Every, what, 4 hours, 2 hours, however
much? Dude. That's what always gets me. So what I did is I walked in that morning. I'm like, you know what? There's nobody in here. I'm just going to take a little stroll through our waiting area here. Just show you what we roll out for our customers. And Pekin, Illinois. You know, we're not talking Los Angeles here or New York.
Yeah.
This is Pekin. And nice, comfortable waiting room. Food, beverage, friendly employees, you know.
Do people just come hang out, though? And just like...
No, not really.
No? Okay.
Well, I mean...
It doesn't matter.
Think about how busy your life is.
Yeah.
I guess there's retired people who have nothing better to do. But for the most part... I don't have time to sit anywhere that I don't have to be.
I know quite a few people that do. I'm just thinking of like the barbershop and stuff where people will just pop in and hang out.
I have a customer probably every 2 days who will sit in my office for 20 minutes and talk to me. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fun.
I don't care. Yeah. That's you know what? If that's the worst I got to deal with is friendly people, I think I'll be all right.
Well, I felt horrible bringing that up now. Thank you. I am a scumbag, Eric.
No, cool, I'm not ditching on you. I'm just saying, you know, there are people that just want to, you know, hang out, talk to us. There's one guy when there's several customers who always make sure to wear Toyota clothing when they come in for their oil change. I love that to death because it's almost like they dressed up to go out, you know, to see their friends or something like that. You know, I'm going to the Toyota store. I'm going to put on my Tacoma t-shirt today. That's awesome to me.
People bring in food for you just randomly, too. Would someone bring you cupcakes today?
Toyota logos on them. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took me a while. I thought they were baseballs or something.
That's what somebody else said, yeah.
That's the Toyota sombrero or whatever. I'm like, that's incredible.
Yeah. That's just, I don't know. It's cool.
You got something special going on there,
my
friend.
I do. It's a good gig. Love my customers. All right. So, our favorite part of the show. This is the part where we talk about the cars that we're drooling over online, the cars that our wives won't let us buy.
Right. We virtually spend someone else's money.
Yes, exactly. So... Again, I've been talking too much, Daryl. What do you got here?
Well, this week I have a project. I tend to pick old stuff off of Craigslist.
I like the way you've already made it a project because you've already bought it mentally in your head.
Right. In my head, I have bought this and started working on it. But it is a 1927 Chrysler Roadster, and it is on the Facebook Marketplace. It's sitting in a what looks to be a nice barn with a like
with an airplane.
Cessna or something in it. I don't even know. It's got some cool old... timey prop plane in there. Cahokia, Missouri, sitting out there. It is a pretty well-worn vehicle, kind of a Grapes of Wrath looking, you know, just paint worn off of it, but old wood wheels, still sitting on tires that hold air, and it looks like it does roll, so you can get it on a trailer. This little Chrysler Roadster has got an inline flathead 6. It's the third model year for Chrysler. Chrysler came out in 1924, and in just a matter of 4 years, really kind of became... kind of not a huge force in the automotive world, but kind of made their name for themselves. Walter P. Chrysler was a pretty young visionary, and of course the Chrysler Building in New York was kind of their big headquarters and namesake. And that was built just a year after this car was. So to go from nothing to, you know, enough money to build this, you know, I don't know how many millions of hundreds of millions of dollars it would have cost today to build this giant skyscraper in New York and just kind of go from zero to hero.
I guess I never thought about the Chrysler Building.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were a fairly young company. I think that was 28. I think that's when that was built. But just super, super cool. As far as advances, this car, it's unlike a Model T or, you know, a Chevy or something else similar to that era. Chrysler featured, I believe, insert bearings. They weren't Babbitt bearings, so they're actually, I think, like, you know, a normal motor. They had Lockheed full hydraulic brakes, which were designed from Lockheed Martin or Lockheed back then, the aircraft company. Safety advances. It was a full steel body, so it didn't have any wood. Probably had like wood bracing and things like that, or maybe seat frames or whatever. But the cars were actually built very solidly. I think they were made by Briggs.
So back in the day,
yeah,
this was probably. I mean, this is probably like wood frame construction on a lot of these old cars. From bumper to bumper, there was probably just two giant beams of wood.
Well, a lot of the framing for like the doors, they would put like. you know, it would be a, you know, I don't know. I'm not a woodworker, so I don't understand the terms, but usually like ash or maple, and they would basically just put a steel skin on the outside of that. So a lot of the old cars, now Fords use less wood than, say, Chevrolets and a lot of the Fisher body GM cars. A lot of the Chryslers, Plymouths, Dodges, those were mostly steel. And the higher-end cars, like, you know, Duesenbergs, things like that, you know, they use more steel. So, and consequently, you see a lot more old Fords running around, like Model Ts and As, because there's less wood. A lot of the GM stuff, there's so much wood in there that they rotted out, and it takes so much to bring them back. A lot of people don't bother because you need to be a woodworker and a mechanic to be able to fix
that.
I can
handle the woodworking part. It's the metal handling that I have the hardest part.
Well, and to be able to peel, you know, the good metal back and then reskin it and all that. I mean, it's kind of really a lot of work. So this thing looks really cool. It's a neat car. $6,500 is what they're asking, and I don't know what it would bring restored. I just ballparked $80,000 to $100,000. That might be high, but you just don't see 27 Chrysler Roadsters, let alone in this part of the country, and let alone a project. So it'd be kind of cool to get on the ground floor on something like that.
Yeah, not like laying halfway in the grass with, you know, halfway submerged in a field somewhere.
Right. That's usually what you see at this day and age, because these cars are now, you know, 80, 90 years old, but it would cost you probably 10 times that to restore this car easily.
Now, you did say you presented this to the wife, right?
Yeah, shut down about 3 seconds. She said, there is no room, no way, no how. So,
but honey, we just sold the house.
Yeah.
We have some disposable income.
Love you, babe.
Yeah.
But no, she talks me out of those bad ideas most of the time. Sometimes she lets one slip. What do you got, Eric? It looks like you got a beautiful car that not a lot of people are going to know about because you just don't see these either.
No, you don't. And actually, I did not talk to the wife about buying this one.
All right. It's probably good because it would replace your house. You'd be living in it. Yeah.
I actually did not want to talk about Toyotas at all. And here I find myself again talking about a Toyota. Bring a trailer. I think you said Jalopnik posted a video of this car too, but it popped up on my Bring a Trailer this morning. This 1967 Toyota 2000 GT left-hand drive for the States with 14 miles on it.
14.
14 miles shown on the odometer. Just insane. So if you don't know about 2000 GT, when Toyota was trying to become a real automaker, this was their first foray into a sports car, and it actually was a Bond car, which was really cool. And You Only Live Twice, Sean Connery popped in this car, but the car was so small, and I've seen him in real life, they actually made a drop-top version for You Only Live Twice.
For the movie.
That's the only one that exists.
Holy cow.
Connery couldn't get in this car, so they made a convertible of it. It's white. It's beautiful in that movie, too. But anyway, this one is for sale out in California. It sat for 30 years in Pennsylvania somewhere. I think a dealer had bought it when it came off the boat, and it's been passed a couple places, but now it's sitting at a Toyota dealership in Long Beach or something like that, and it's going for $400,000 already with bids. It's got 6 days left. This is potentially a $1 million car and Bring a Trailer.
Wow.
Interestingly enough, I actually ran into two of these cars out of the blue in San Diego a couple years ago. We were out there. We were at a strip mall. We're on vacation. So, of course, my wife's like, I need to buy sandals. I'm like, all right, whatever. So I'm standing out in front of my son because my son's like, I don't want to look at sandals. I'm like, neither do I.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah. So, and, you know, if you've ever been to California, it's really cool because everything's kind of rolled up on top of each other. So you got a little strip mall here. And then if you look over this way, there's a little fenced in area, a little auto lot. And there's a Renault rally car over there. I'm like, oh, my God, there's like a Series B rally car. I said, Hayden, let's go over there. Mom, we're going to go look at this car. Okay, fine. So we walk over to this little lot, and it's pretty cool. It's a rally car. They got some other cool cars. And I look inside the glass, and I see some curves and bends of some cars, and we're like, oh, we got to go check. You know, I'm thinking it's a Lotus deal or something like that. You know, something neat. I walk inside, and it's all Japanese folks. I mean, these guys barely speak English. They want to know why I'm in there. I'm like, oh, I just want to see what cars you have. They're like, fine. Don't touch anything. However they said it, I'm not going to try and mimic their accent. Yeah. And so I'm walking around looking at the car. I'm like, hey, look at that. I'm like, oh, hey, look at that, an old Jag. And as I get closer, I'm like, and I literally, Daryl, my heart stopped. And this is how geeky I am. And you probably have these feelings all the time when you go to car shows and stuff. But it was a 2000 GT. It was red. It was like a Jaguar burgundy red.
Okay.
And I was like choking. I'm like, that's a 2000 GT. That's 2000 GT. My son's like, what's that? He didn't care. He was like 14, maybe 13 at the time. I'm like, that's like it's like a $200,000 car sitting there. It wasn't as good a shape as this car. And he goes, well, what's that one over there? And I look behind me. There's a white one.
Right across the way.
Yeah. One of them was right-hand drive. That was left-hand drive. And I'm like literally gasping for breath. And so I take my camera, and they say no pictures, right? There's pictures all over the place, or signs that say no pictures.
No pictures.
I took two pictures. And, I'm like, oh, my God. So, you know, I get out of there, and I'm like, I'm trying to tell my wife. I'm trying to tell my daughter, my son. I'm like,
it's a big deal.
Yeah. And
were those the first ones you ever saw?
Yeah. And I'll probably never see another one again in my life.
Yeah. Until you bring this home.
Yeah.
Until the transporter shows up out front.
It was definitely one of those situations where I was blown away as a Toyota guy. And I literally had to come all the way back home to Illinois and talk to a couple. There's like two or three people at the dealership who would appreciate this conversation. So then when I see this car come for sale, and I see the condition of this car, and I see the 14 miles on it, I see it's already got 400 grand on it. Holy smokes, man. Yeah. This car, I told you, it's a piece of art. It's a shame, really, in some ways, that this car will not get driven. It will not get used. It's a Van Gogh. It's a wall painting. Somebody's going to buy this car and lock it up in a cell somewhere. And,
yeah. That's true. But on the other sense, I mean, it's preserved for the next generation. You can't drive something like this. And I know that there's people out there that'd be like, yeah, I'd fill it up. I'd go through the seals.
Yeah, No, you wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't. You'd be stupid to. There was a guy who bought a Jaguar XJ220 years ago that I saw on some online video somewhere. And he bought it from a guy in Japan who he lived in a high-rise. He was a multi-million dollar millionaire. And he lived in some high-rise in Tokyo. And he bought this thing and he put it in his living room. And it became like this piece of sculpture.
Yeah.
And he had these big elaborate parties and people just look at his Jaguar. And I think the same thing. It had like, 200 miles on it or something. This guy bought it, and he's like, "Oh, I'm going to drive it, all that." And I think he did, and he sold it to a guy, and he did the same thing. He put it, drained all the fluids out, and put it in his house.
I never thought about draining the fluids on it because you were saying I should put it in my living room. I'm like, I don't want dripping oil because it's going to drip oil.
Oh,
1967
yeah.
car is going to be dripping oil.
That's true.
But if I drain the fluids, yeah. I have a lesser chance of that, right?
Yeah, you just put it in a cryogenic suspension, as it were.
Yeah, then I have my son and his buddies trying to run it backwards in my living room when they take it out and
Ferris Bueller style.
Have their day off.
I know. Yeah, Eric said before the show we were just going through this. He's like, "This is the Cameron's dad car."
It is.
It totally 14 miles on it.
He loves this car more than life itself.
You would have to have had so much like future thought to buy this and stuff it away because in '67, would you have ever thought something like that would be worth 400 grand?
No, I'm trying to think what that car stickered for back in 1967. It was like a 20 grand car. I mean, it was an expensive car.
It was pricey.
I think it was expensive in its day. But no, because we have a twin turbo Supra at the dealership, and it feels like as we get further in years in the car, every once in a while it's like nice to take it out for a stroll or take it to a car show and stuff like that. Yeah. And so I've seen the owner drive Chicago and stuff. He certainly hasn't gotten less generous. He uses it, I think, more now than he did probably 15 years ago.
Okay.
So I think at some point you do want to kind of enjoy it before, before you squander the opportunity.
Well, and even if you do have something like, if this had 14,000 miles on it, it'd still be worth a ton of money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No doubt. Yeah, get out, enjoy a little bit, but just don't blow it up.
So we'll post pictures of these two cars on the website. And I'm going to tell you what, follow the link to that Bring a Trailer listing because the paint on this car and the photography.
Nicely done.
Absolutely gorgeous.
We need to do a show in the future, too, about detail tips and tricks, because I know I like to detail and dabble a little bit with some, paint correction, but I'm nowhere near a professional. And to see photos like this of something that is just worth an obscene amount of money, mm-hmm. that is an original specimen, original paint, untouched, and something you want to preserve, there's so much effort that goes into something. You're like, oh, this thing's beautiful. Even a beautiful car can be made to look like a piece of art, as Eric said.
Yeah.
With a lot of the simple detail tricks and,
Daryl's all about the detail. I'm going to tell you that. Ever since we started episode one, he's like, we need to get some detail people on the show.
I'm just going to pick their brain. I just want to steal their secrets.
I don't see, as a Wheeler guy, I don't care about the cleaning as much as you do, apparently.
You got a pressure washer?
Yeah.
That's good enough.
Okay.
I just blast off the mud, that's all.
As a matter of fact, before I'm going to Southern Cruiser Call next weekend, we had to take the radiator apart because I still had mud caked between the radiator and the condenser, and I've been...
Really?
Yeah, I never get air conditioned quite right when I'm at a dead stop in that truck. So.
It's the three tons of mud that's caked in
there. Yeah, you don't have to worry about that with your cars.
No, just bugs. But yeah, it'd be fun. Check that. Check out the pictures. That Toyota is something, especially if you're an old Datsun Z car fan.
Yeah.
This predates it, folks. Z car is cool. I love the 240s. This car was first.
Yeah, but the Z car is affordable. This is not. So.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I'll take a Z car if I can drive it every day.
I'll take 20 for that price.
All right, so tell me about this documentary you watched here, Daryl.
Speaking of things that go fast, I watched a documentary over the weekend on one of the cable channels that was about the history of Lime Rock Park Raceway in Connecticut. And I didn't know anything about it other than it's a racetrack, and I've seen a lot of Subarus crash there on YouTube. It's kind of funny. Check out. There's one from like 2000 where a guy rolls a 2.5 RS, and it's pretty awesome because as he's going through this thing, he's like trying to be like, oh, you know, just, you know, bring the tail around, do this. And he's like trying to do this, you know, instructional lap, and he winds up just rolling this thing, and it's hilarious. He's fine. He lived. But Lime Rock Park, cool little place out in the Connecticut, kind of a rolling hillsides. And what happened was in the 50s, Watkins Glen opened, you know, Road America opened. There was kind of this big push post-war where a lot of the service guys came and they're like, hey, there's these really cool cars over in Europe and they're a blast to drive. So a lot of guys started buying Triumphs, MGs, you know, and some of the other Alphas, things like that. And they didn't have a place to race them, like Eric was talking about earlier. You have these nice little cars that are fun to drive, and in post-war America, there were only a handful of places across the country where you could do that. And so this guy, I can't remember his name, forgive me, but he was a gravel pit owner and a construction guy. And he and his buddy, they bought an MGTD, one of those old, you know, giant tall radiator, kind of skinny little cars. And they would drive around the gravel pit and make little courses, and they had a blast. Like, this thing was so much fun, and the hills out here were just great. So he basically took a Cat D9, and he got some money and some partners, and they carved out a little place out in the land they owned in Connecticut, and they made a racetrack. They brought in John Fitch, who was a Le Mans racer, and in 1957 they opened up their race course. And it's been successful ever since. They had some setbacks earlier. They had, the townspeople originally were all about it, and then they started putting limitations, like you can't race on Sunday because you should be in church, and there's a lot of noise, and you can't race between these hours and these hours. And it just kind of started wreaking havoc. But then people like Paul Newman and some other big time, Dan Gurney, Roger Penske.
Nice.
I'm trying to think. You know, that era, Mark Donahue. Some famous racers in that age were able to kind of rally and make it a successful racing venue. And then you had other things that popped up after that. But Lime Rock Park was really kind of a neat course, and I'd love to get out there and see it. I probably won't have anything to race out there.
Come on, Daryl.
But it's beautiful. I don't know. We'll see.
So was it called the Secret Valley of Racing?
No, I think it was just called Lime Rock.
Okay.
But it was done in like 95, 96, because like, they're like, you know, all the narration was, you know, and today it's still popular. And today okay. It was like 93 BMWs
okay.
running.
Yeah, so there was Connecticut Public TV had two airings for a documentary on Lime Rock Park.
Okay,
so,
that's what it was.
So where'd you catch it at? Do you remember?
It was on some cable channel, like, you know, 6022. It was a Sunday morning.
Channel 2 a.m. or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, it was a Sunday morning, and I was making breakfast, and that was on. And it was really cool because they had a lot of neat interviews. And then, of course, they combined it with old, like, you know, Super 8 footage of people back in the 60s and 50s, you know, late 50s, going to watch racing, and it was all amateur stuff. It was like, hey, I'm a dentist, and I bought this Mercedes 300 SL, and I'm just going to give it hell on the weekends.
Yeah.
And then there'd be another guy who'd get, like, you know, like a Corvette off the dealer's showroom and just, yeah, what the hell, I'll just take this out. And I guess the most successful event they did early on was I forget what they call it, like the Trans Am something or other, but it was basically, there's no class. It's like any and everything on wheels.
Just show up out there, huh?
Show up and race. And it was a time trial thing, whatever. And the guy who won in like an old Indy midget racer. And he was out there just clobbering, like, you know, full-blown, like, Thunderbirds and stuff like that. It was kind of fun to see.
Yeah.
So this little tiny, you know, two-inch wheelbase.
You know, but that excitement is the same thing we had this weekend in Rantoul. Because you're running all these different cars at the same time. And the Dodge Viper and the Mustangs are making it all look easy, the Corvettes.
Yeah.
But then you got the kid out there with the stock FRS, and you got all these exchange students, all these kids from Asia are driving BMW M Series cars.
Because like the U of I? Like,
yeah.
U of
oh,
I
yeah.
Guys.
Yeah, that's big. The U of I money was rolling in. It was hilarious
yeah.
just to watch all these different cars race each other. And there was no rhyme or reason to the times either. I guess driver skill and tires. I think tires and suspension and driver skill have everything to do with that stuff.
Nothing like a good set of sticky race tires or just sticky summer tires on a course to get you to kind of realize that makes such a difference.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, it's cliche to be like, oh, you need good tires. No. The different compounds and all that. Yeah. I mean, that was the first thing, you know, when I was 20 years old going to – I used to race up at the Madison Sports Car Club years and years ago. And I remember, like just sitting watching some of the guys roll in with, like, S4s and, like, old Porsches and stuff. And, like, you hear all the rocks kicking up and stuff. Like, I'm like, what is that noise? The tires are so sticky, that compound, it's picking up every rock on the road. I'm like, oh, I'm in trouble. Yeah. I'm driving these chalky old Cooper Cobras.
But, you know, on the flip side of that, when we were in Rantoul this weekend, there were some guys who had a Civic they'd pulled out. And they said they literally pulled out of their field from – it's been sitting there for 3 years.
Yeah.
And I think they might have had some decent tires on. And you could see that they had some old sway bars and stuff from years ago of racing it. But the shocks were original, and as they were hitting the cones and going around stuff,
bad.
I swear to God, they were on two wheels at one point.
Yeah,
I'm just like, oh my God! But it looked like so much fun, and I took pictures with my long range lens, and the smiles on the guys inside that car. Oh my God, they were if the grins didn't reach all the way to their ears, it was hilarious.
They probably got what $1,200 on the whole car.
Oh, if that.
Yeah. Yeah,
they said they used to do it all the time, and they thought they'd bring it out this weekend just to see if it was still fun. And they just look like two goobers, you know, with a car dolly, and they had a blast.
Well, and I love, too, when you do go and you do some kind of, you know, sports car club, you know, autocross, parking lot, whatever stuff, whatever you want to call it, there's cars that will not show up at a show. There's cars that won't go to Cars and Coffee or anything like that because it's just not their style.
Yeah.
But then they'll show up on a racetrack. Mm-hmm. And some of the coolest cars in my entire life I've seen were on a Sunday morning out in the middle of, you know, nowhere, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And one was a 78, which was, I think, the first year for the Porsche 928. A guy bought this thing new, and he was in his 50s at the time. This was like 20 years ago. I don't know. It's so old. I'm old. Anyways, it was a 78 928.
I'm older. Anyway.
Yeah. And I can't remember the name of the company, but it was a German company that made a supercharger kit for this. So this guy had all these speed parts from the 70s on this, like, root beer brown 928. And the thing honked. The thing ran.
I love that root beer color on those things.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah, and everyone else is like, what's that guy? That guy's weird. I'm like, that is that car is probably, it was cool then, it's cool today, and it's still competitive. That tells you something. And there was another couple of guys, they were two brothers, and they were AMC guys. Being in Wisconsin, there was a big, you know, AMC group up there that used to drag race up at Union Grove.
Okay.
They had like a 9-second Gremlin, all kinds of goofy stuff. But they had autocross cars, and they were old AMC Spirits. Now, if you want to look at this...
Oh, my God. My brother had a Spirit.
Well, I didn't know anything
about
this.
All-wheel drive, right? Four-wheel drive.
The Spirits weren't. The Spirits, that was the Eagle. The Eagle was based on the Spirit.
Okay.
But they made an SX4 and stuff like that. They looked the same, but technically, I don't want to be that guy. But, yeah, like the Spirits were two-wheel drive. But it was all based on the Gremlin and the Hornet chassis, all that. Yeah. But in the late 70s... They actually, AMC fielded a factory team, and they went to Nürburgring, and they raced all kinds of stuff. And if you look up, this is weird, James Brolin.
Yeah.
Barbara Streisand's husband, actor, all that stuff. He was one of the racers on that team.
Really?
And they have a really cool color scheme on that. I think they had a built 360 and a top loader, and they were really cool cars. I didn't know anything about this. So these two guys unload these two AMC Spirits, GTs, out of this trailer. And they just sounded wicked as hell. And I'm like, what's this? And they tore up the course. And like, normally we go to the longer, like, Trans Am type stuff at, like, Black Hawk Farms or Gingerman up in Michigan, whatever. But we figured it'd be fun to have these on the smaller course. They were flying on the dirt all – I mean, they just – the course couldn't hold these things. It turns out they were, like, old AMC factory racers. I'm like, I learned so much about stuff just going to these autocross events. They're great.
That's hilarious. Well, you know, I talked about it earlier in the show, and we'll end the show this way, but we are lacking the ability to do this in this area. I mean, between Chicago and St. Louis, we got dirt tracks, and I understand. As a matter of fact, when I was on my way to Rantoul, I drove past a guy's house. He had two Chrysler minivans that were painted green and gold with the windows knocked out, and they looked like they'd been running around a dirt track. And I'm like, there's probably no substitute for fun versus
that's
got to be a blast. But you know what? It's not the same thing, you know, as pavement racing, and we're lacking that downstate. So we really got to try every time you see an opportunity, you know, to try and keep pressing.
Yeah,
and
great.
Make good representation too. Make good decisions and not be doing stupid things. That's how we lose what we got.
Yeah, good point. Well, on that note,
yeah. So I, you know, thanks for listening. I think we weren't so newsy this show. So let us know, you know, give us some feedback. What you think? What we're doing here?
Yeah, are we too gabby? You want more news? You want more updates from the great beyond of the world of automotive sport and leisure?
Yeah. No. And I like that aspect too, the newsy part. But I kind of enjoy these gabby shows. So you know, we'll go either way.
Yeah. Let us know
if you want a new show. We'll probably not do that, but.
Always good to hear from you, good, bad, and different. And thanks for liking. Thanks for subscribing. And we'll definitely catch you on the flip side. Even as the weather gets colder, always still lots to talk about and something to do out in the garage.
Cars and Coffee this weekend.
Cars and Coffee, Saturday morning. Check it out. There is a toy drive for the Salvation Army.
Because the last Cars and Coffee was a rainstorm, so...
Yeah, it was. But we were there. We had fun.
Us and 30 other cars.
And, you know, we had some breakfast burritos, so we were in good spirits.
Yeah, I tell you what, we'll be out there again, so say hi if you're listening to the show.
That's right. We'll see you next time, guys.
Bye.